All right, folks, welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Thursday, November 21st, 2024. I'm Mike Adams. We are now, a little over 8 weeks away from Trump being sworn in, if we make it that far. And I interviewed Michael Yan today to get his latest take on, the risk of nuclear war from Russia. And since I interviewed Michael Yan, then Ukraine launched Storm Shadow missiles, which are UK-made cruise missiles. I think they launched a dozen of those missiles into Russia, striking what looks like some kind of communications headquarters target, mostly in a residential area, is what it looks like. It's not something that Russia can't handle, and this alone isn't going to provoke Putin into some kind of a nuclear retaliation. But it's clear that Ukraine is going to continue to prod and poke and provoke Russia for the next 8 to 9 weeks up until Trump is sworn in, and maybe even after that. But, you know, what a departing gift that Joe Biden has given, or Obama has given to Trump, which is to say, here, have a total mess. I mean, we're going to create a total mess out of Ukraine and Russia and then hand it over to you. Good luck. And we might be in the middle of a nuclear war by then. Who knows? So it's a very dangerous situation unfolding. If you heard my podcast yesterday, you heard me say that I don't think that Putin can be successfully goaded into a nuclear retaliation. And that's the good news. But the bad news is that probably he will want to use something like a thermobaric warhead, possibly from a hypersonic missile striking a very sensitive or very valuable target in Ukraine. Who knows? Russia might start attacking targets in Kiev. I hope not, but that could be where this goes. But again, I don't think Putin will use nuclear weapons, but there are thermobaric weapons that are very, very strong that could be used. In fact, I want to look up what size of detonations thermobaric weapons can achieve. Well, apparently the largest thermobaric weapon is supposed to be named the, quote, father of all bombs, the FOAB, and it was field-tested by Russia in 2007. It's supposed to be the largest non-nuclear weapon in the world, but this is an AI-generated result, and it claims that the yield is equivalent to just 44 tons of TNT, so that's a 44-ton bomb. Whereas Hiroshima was a 15-kiloton bomb, and then modern nuclear warheads are in the megaton ranges, by the way, so 44 tons doesn't seem very big compared to nuclear weapons. I'm not sure this information is correct, but let me find a video. Okay, I'm not really finding convincing footage of these bombs. I mean, I'm seeing some explosions. I'm seeing they're also called vacuum bombs or fuel air explosives, and they're not nuclear. They're not super powerful, I mean, compared to nuclear weapons. So if Putin were to use these on Ukraine, you know, it wouldn't destroy Ukraine. Couldn't destroy a city. Couldn't destroy a city block, actually, with these bombs, at least not that I'm seeing. Could definitely rattle a lot of people. It could kill a lot of people in a city block, but it wouldn't destroy every building standing in a city block, let's say. So this is not going to end the world, which is, you know, a good thing. In any case, we'll have an update here from Michael Yan shortly about what's going on with, both the Russia-Ukraine situation, as well as the big question of the use of military troops in the United States to round up and deport illegals. This is a topic that I've been pondering and discussing quite a bit lately. We've got, you know, we're being invaded as a nation, but we also have civil liberties concerns, and we never want to see the military deployed against U.S. citizens. But if the military is deployed against invaders in the United States, isn't that the proper role of the military for a while to get the invaders out? And then after that, let the military stay on the border. You know, protect the border, stop the invaders. But first, we got to get them out. So that's a question I posed to Michael Yan. What's the proper use of the military? And is this going to lead us into some kind of an expanding civil war? And his answer was yes. And he said it would not be limited just to blue cities or blue states. He said that wars expand in unpredictable ways and that it would end up doing things that we cannot anticipate and could be a very risky situation for the whole country. So we'll jump into that interview shortly. Before we do that, I want to show you something kind of funny here. Now, the Jaguar automobile company has put out an ad that is so unbelievably woke and insane. They are getting so much pushback on this ad, which features what look like a bunch of transgenders and pervs and LGBT automatons. It's just truly, truly bizarre. But Jaguar says their slogan now is copy nothing. And I want to show you this because I've got something really funny to follow up with. But check out part of this new ad from Jaguar and try not to barf. Check this out. All right, now that was truly faggoty right there. So I guess if you want to drive a Jaguar now, well, you got to be super faggoty. Yes, that is a proper term. However, this whole idea of copy nothing really doesn't pass muster because the minute I saw that ad, it reminded me of Ruby Rod, the character from Fifth Element. A movie that came out like somewhere around 2012 or something. It was over 10 years ago. And Ruby Rod was a character, basically an influencer DJ character played by comedian Chris Tucker. And Ruby Rod, I'm going to play a clip for you. Ruby Rod was hilarious. I mean, Chris Tucker was hilarious as Ruby Rod. But notice how similar the Jaguar ad is to this Ruby Rod character from over 12 years ago. So Jaguar isn't doing anything really original at all. Check this out.
This boy is fueled like fire. So start melting, ladies, because the boy is hotter than hot. He's hot, hot, hot. Right size, right build, right head, right on.
Right on, right on.
Hi. Unbelievable! Wither, ladies, wither. He's gonna set the world on fire. Right here from 5 to 7, you know everything there is to know about the demon. His dreams, his desires, his most intimates of intimates. And what I'm looking at...
All right, so there you go. Ruby Rod from 12 years ago, Fifth Element with Bruce Willis. And that's what Jaguar looks like today, except in the Fifth Element movie, it was a joke. And today in 2024, Jaguar has become a joke. And I wouldn't buy a Jaguar anyway. But if I was considering buying a Jaguar, now I would say, oh, hell no. Not a chance. Wasn't there another car company that tried to sell cars by featuring advertisements that did not show their cars? That was a few years back. I don't think that went very well. All right, moving on. I've got a quote from you from Cenk Uygur. Is that how you say it? Uygur? From the Young Turks. That's where people know him. He's from the Young Turks, who has been, of course, a diehard left-wing liberal and just one of the strongest supporters of Democrats and the strongest critic of Trump and anything conservative. And guess what? Here's what he just posted. Quote, when I became a Democrat, it was the more tolerant party. Republicans were run by religious nut jobs and corporate robots. Now, the Democrats are, in a lot of ways, the less tolerant party. The least tolerant part is actually the establishment wing of the party, he's saying the Democrat Party, that says anyone opposing their anointed leaders is committing heresy. If you try to give constructive criticism of the party to improve it, they drive you from the party while screaming, he's not a real Democrat. They hate populists. They've become the corporate robots I couldn't stand. They hate their base. They insult our intelligence by pretending that the donors are not in charge. They think we should be controlled and learn how to follow orders, and they have no idea how elitist they sound. Predictably, their unironic reaction to this post will be heretic. So I never thought I'd say this, but the host of the Young Turks is actually starting to make a lot of sense. Yeah, maybe he'll be the next one to leave the Democrat Party. Like, oh, I don't know, RFK Jr., Donald Trump, Elon Musk, Tulsi Gabbard, the list goes on. In fact, do you realize that in this election that we just had, you realize the Democrats won? Because all the people we elected were former Democrats, basically. You know, for the most part, maybe not J.D. Vance, but the others, mostly just former Democrats. So, you know, the Republican Party did not win, certainly not the typical conservative Republicans. The RINOs definitely did not win, and the current Democrats did not win. So who won? And I think the answer is the people are just tired of the tyrants. They're tired of the wokeism. They're tired of the LGBT nonsense. They're tired of government waste and lies, and they're tired of war. And this combination of Trump and Vance and RFK Jr. and Nicole Shanahan and the others, this combination just really appealed to people who are completely fed up with the insanity. So that's really what this election was about. It was about rejecting the insanity. It's not about electing conservatives. And by the way, you know how Sank here says Republicans were run by religious nut jobs. Well, there's still that element that exists. Now it's called Zionism, by the way. So there is a religious nut job element at play. It's just Zionism. So let us hope that we don't end up in a nuclear war with Iran because of that factor. And let us hope that saner heads prevail or cooler heads prevail. I'm with Dennis Kucinich on this one. Let's have peace. How about that? Okay, this Saturday, we start streaming the new Cancer Secrets program at Brighteon University. So sign up and watch it for free. Just go to brightu.com. That's the word bright, the letter U. Bright U is short for Brighteon University. Brightu.com. Sign up for the Cancer Secrets docuseries put together by Jonathan Otto, who we interviewed. We ran that interview earlier, I think on Monday. And you can learn all there is to know about cancer and cancer secrets. And wow, I've got some great news coming also next year with our new AI language model. We're doing a lot of, well, a new aggressive push to take our AI model to the next level because, well, I'll talk about it more as we get closer, but we're going to have a vastly improved, even revolutionary AI model for you that will know a lot about cancer and many other topics. All right, let's talk about the rounding up and the booting out of the illegal invaders in the United States. So we have Stephen Miller with the Trump administration on video here saying that Trump is going to end the occupation on day one, and it's going to happen at light speed. So I'd like you to listen to Stephen Miller talk about this and how the border czar, Tom Homan, is also going to make this happen. Check out this short video.
It's going to be at light speed, Sean. The moment that President Trump puts his hand on that Bible and takes the oath of office, as he has said, the occupation ends, Liberation Day begins. He will immediately sign executive orders, sealing the border shut, beginning the largest deportation operation in American history.
So there you go. Stephen Miller, he's going to be the White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy. Stephen Miller is a hardcore guy, by the way. And he says that this is going to happen at light speed. I'm not sure how it's going to be at light speed, but I'm sure Trump will explain. It's going to be the greatest light speed. It's going to be the lightest light, the most speediest speed you've ever seen. We're going to make light speed light again, you know, whatever. probably what's going to happen is he's going to sign a bunch of executive orders, and then there's going to be 700 lawsuits from left-wing groups like the ACLU, and then you're going to have all these left-wing judges immediately issue orders to block all of Trump's executive orders. And then the question becomes, what is Trump going to do about that? Are we going to have another 4 years of left-wing judges in Hawaii just blocking everything that Trump needs to do to protect our borders and to deport the illegal invaders? This is my question. I think the answer to this is going to be found in Trump declaring a national emergency or something even bigger. There are all kinds of powers that are concentrated in the hands of the president because of the NDAA in particular. Remember the NDAA signed by Obama in 2012, I believe, the National Defense Authorization Act. And it gives the president the power to do all kinds of, well, in many cases, frightening things, like they can come confiscate all your farm animals. Yeah? Did you know that? They can confiscate all your fuel, your crops, your seeds. I mean, your vehicles, everything. They could just take everything. That's on the books. And that's a presidential order. But there are other things they can do as well. And I think some of those powers include the ability to bypass court judges in cases of certain extreme emergencies, and those emergencies can be declared by the president. So it's very likely we're going to find ourselves in a scenario, like really soon here, within, let's say, 9 weeks or a little bit less, where Trump is going to declare numerous emergency powers. I'm not even sure what they all are. I'm not an expert in this area of, you know, executive law. Other people will chime in on this. Maybe Robert Barnes knows a lot more in this area. I suspect he does. But Trump's going to declare numerous emergencies, and he's going to use that to push this through. Tom Holman is going to go to work, and the U.S. military is going to get deployed. And we are going to see literally troops on the streets in American cities. And you're going to see left-wing protesters lose their minds and go crazy. You're going to see CNN go crazy. And you know exactly what this narrative is going to look like. They're going to say, Trump is Hitler. Trump is Hitler. He's got troops on the streets. It's martial law. It's the end of America. Well, actually, the end of America would be allowing America to continue to be invaded. So I don't know what choice we have but to deploy some form of law enforcement or maybe troops in the blue cities, at least, because you have to get these invaders out of the country, and you have to protect your borders, and you have to arrest the thousands of traitors, the traitors mostly on the left who rigged elections, who kept the border open, you know, who fabricated fake intelligence to try to destroy Trump, the traitors who committed lawfare. There's a long list of traitors that have to be arrested, and in order to arrest them, I mean, the most effective way to do that is to declare a military emergency or some kind of a state of emergency and use the military to arrest them and hold them for military tribunals. And yeah, for a period of time, that's going to look very martial law-like, let's say. It is. There's no way around it. Troops on the streets, it's a bad look for a country that claims to be free. And yet, it's a necessary step. I mean, I don't like it, but I'm willing to endure it to get our country back. This is my point. Like, most of the time, In almost every case I can think of, I would not support troops on the streets. I would say that's going too far. In this case, our country has been overrun. Our election system has been overrun. The population has been overrun, which affects the census, which affects House of Representatives. So members of Congress have been stolen from us by illegals in states like California, because illegals count on the census. So our country has been invaded and occupied by these illegals, and they have to go. It is the right thing to do. Now, I'm not anti-immigration when it's legal. I love immigrants. I'm married to an immigrant, and I've been a guest in other countries, always legally. You know, I had residency in Ecuador. I had residency in Taiwan. I've had tourist visas in many other countries around the world. I've always been a guest. I didn't just cross the border anytime I wanted, and I certainly didn't vote in their elections. I couldn't vote in Ecuador, even though I had an Ecuadorian driver's license. I took the test in Espanol, by the way. It was a written and an oral test in Espanol, and I passed it, and I got an Ecuadorian driver's license. Could I vote in Ecuadorian elections? No! If I tried to vote, even with an Ecuadorian ID, a driver's license, they would have thrown me in jail. I didn't even try to vote in Ecuadorian elections, because that would be, you know, unconscionable. But yet, you know, Venezuelans come to America and they vote in our elections. So that's got to stop. So I don't agree with everything Trump's going to do, but I absolutely agree with this. You've got to take action to get the illegals out. And it's going to put us through some real hard situations for some period of time. So Stephen Miller has my support for this. Tom Homan has my support for this. Trump has my support for this. Even though Trump does not have my support on things like Operation Warp Speed, obviously, or more selling weapons to, or I mean, giving weapons to Israel. What am I saying? Selling? They don't buy them. We just give them. But sending weapons and money to Israel, I'm completely opposed to that, because I'm opposed to genocide. But Trump's going to do that probably, and I will oppose it, and I'll speak out against it. But for getting illegals out of our country, I completely support it. But the legitimate question in all of this is, if you have troops on the streets, by what mechanism do the troops leave the streets? You know, how do you pull back from this? Because that power, let's say Trump deploys the troops and then uses those troops to arrest treasonous governors, treasonous mayors, people whom I say need to be arrested. But suppose Trump does that and realizes, hey, this is pretty handy, right? Having the military all over the country, you don't have to listen to judges, don't have any checks and balances. It's just executive, martial law, military rule, boom, I can do whatever I want. Why would Trump ever want to give up that power? You see what I'm saying? That's why power corrupts. And that's why we're supposed to have a separation of powers. We're supposed to have three branches of governments that balance each other out. That's the way it's supposed to work. Of course, the whole system has been completely perverted, which is why desperate measures apparently have to be taken. But you can't trust the judicial system anymore, because it's, you know, half ruled by rabid left-wing judges that don't respect the rule of law. So what do? You know, if all the judges were reasonable, and if court decisions were based on rules of evidence and rationality and actual facts and reality, then that would be different. But that's not what court decisions are based on. I mean, just look at the Supreme Court decisions of the left-wing judges like Sotomayor, you know, and you're like, wow, these left-wing judges are morons. And they're also activist judges. So you can't even trust the judicial branch of government right now. You can't trust the legislative branch, because the Democrats completely ignore reason and rationality. They think that men can have babies, and then most members of Congress are also bought off by Israel through AIPAC donations. So when it comes to Israel issues, then all the Republicans are bought off, especially the Republican senators and so on. So like that, you can't even trust that to be fair and representative. So what do you do? Well, I guess we're going to find out. There are no good answers to this. There are no pretty outcomes. I think the empire ultimately collapses, and I think it's going to happen under Trump, by the way. I think Trump's the last president of this empire. But we'll see. And the way it all tumbles down, the way the dollar collapses, this is going to be very telling. And it's going to be rough for everybody involved. And that's why I encourage us to look beyond the collapse. You know, maybe that should be the title today. Look beyond the collapse. What's next? What's after this? Yes, we can survive it. We can get through it. But what comes next? And what will America look like at that point? What will the world look like? Will we have nuclear war? Will we be living under, you know, radioactive fallout scenarios? Mad Max? Have to have radiation meters to test your water? Oh, what's a little fallout, you know? That kind of thing? I hope not. What will happen when hundreds of millions of Americans are suddenly impoverished because their dollars are worthless? That's not going to be a fun scenario. So these are some questions that we need to consider in moving forward in all of this. So get prepared in every way that you can. We're going to jump into the interview with Michael Yan here. I'll play a short video first about rangerdeals.com, which is a website that I've set up that shows third-party deals and discounts and some of the various sponsors or donors that sometimes just donate product, like the Safrax chlorine dioxide company. But check out this short clip about rangerdeals.com and some of the things that can help you get prepared. A lot of hardcore preparedness items there with some discount codes too. And then we'll jump into the interview with Michael Yan, which was recorded earlier, but I'm voice only because I'm not in my studio on Wednesdays. So anyway, enjoy the interview and I'll be back with you tomorrow. Take care. I've put together a whole lot of third-party partners with discount codes on this website, rangerdeals.com. Definitely check out this website. You are going to save a bundle on things that you need to be prepared for pandemics, be prepared for financial collapse. Let me just walk you through some of this. Like right here, 10% off of PetMectin, which is ivermectin labeled for pets, discount code Ranger. You just click that right there, and it goes to a third-party company. And this icon indicates that they compensate us with product donations that we then donate out to other people. So we kind of have an affiliate relationship here, but they don't pay us cash. They pay us in product that we donate out to other people in need through our church, by the way. So a lot of these, they just gift back to us, to our church, and then we donate that out to people who need it. If you scroll down, you'll see also we've got chlorine dioxide down here somewhere. Where did it go? Here it is, Safrax, 10% off chlorine dioxide. If you don't have a supply of chlorine dioxide, you absolutely need to get some of this and learn about it. And there's the button right there. In addition, to be prepared financially for what's coming, we've got three different sources of gold and silver here on rangerdeals.com. So one of these is called Prepper Bars. You can save 10% off. And that's these guys right here, where you have like breakaway silver pieces. There's like, I'm just kind of showing you, you can break this off, or you can break these off individually. They become 1/10 of an ounce, 1/20 of an ounce, or 1/4 of an ounce, etc. So these prepper bars are really handy. People love those. And then we've got gold backs, which have real physical gold embedded in each gold back. Very divisible form of gold. This has 1/1000th of an ounce of gold. You're actually looking at the gold. It's just flattened out. It's very thin, obviously, at 1/1000th of an ounce. But they have higher denominations. So you can find a link to that here on rangerdeals.com. Or if you just want mainstream, you know, like silver coins, gold coins in the 1 ounce format, you can also find those with our gold and silver supplier here at rangerdeals.com. We've also got 10% off the Trends Journal with Gerald Celente. That's right here. We've got $50 off the de-googled phones at Above Phone. 10% off the RNC supplements. That's vitamin B17 Laetril, which is featured by G. Edward Griffin on his book, World Without Cancer. We've got, you can save money off of heirloom seeds. You can save money on satellite phones here from the satellite phone store, SAT123.com. And on top of that, we've got here, we've got Shield Arms where you can have folding AR-15s, custom Glocks. You can actually save money on high-end firearms here with this link. We've got Nessa's Hemp, a CBDA, very high CBDA, a cannabidiolic acid, which has its own efficacy. We've got 10% off holsters with 1791 gun leather, 10% off body armor with Hoplite. You know, you can save money on the Patriot Green products, the compost products, so much more, the portable power stations, solar generators, and here's a discount off of a movie. So much more. We're adding to this all the time, but just go to rangerdeals.com to see our current specials and the discount codes that can save you a bundle on things that can help you get prepared. And these are things that we don't sell in our store. And we don't sell ivermectin and gold and silver or things like that, or firearms, obviously. So these are third-party partners that offer things that we don't offer or can't offer ourselves. And we've negotiated these discounts for you. So take advantage of all that at rangerdeals.com. Get prepared. Interesting times ahead, that's for sure. Thanks for watching. Take care. All right, welcome, folks. Mike Adams here with Michael Yon. This is an emergency interview. As you can see, I'm not in my studio. I'm only in my studio a few days a week, but on other times, you won't see me. But we are seeing Michael Yon. Michael Yon is joining me today because we have this urgent situation with Russia and Ukraine, the ATACMS missiles. Russia looks poised to respond in some significant way. We've also got more news about Israel now saying they are going to annex the West Bank, which means the greater Israel seizure of more land is now underway. So, Michael, welcome to the show. It's great to have you, and thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Oh, thanks, Michael. When did Israel say that? Actually, I missed that. I've been busy on the other issues.
Oh, yeah. That was today. So earlier this morning, that was announced. And of course, that's because the election's over and Trump is not yet in office. So there's zero accountability for Israel's actions. They're going to do whatever they want for the next 9 weeks. And probably eventually, after, too.
Oh, for sure. Eventually, they'll go for the Suez Canal. They've got to consolidate. Let's see how far they get, because, you know, the war has started. At this point, nobody's in control of the war. That's one of the dark magics of war, is once it gets started, nobody's actually in control anymore, because it's like a riot at some point on the national scale.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the principles that you always mention, is that wars grow and they grow unpredictably.
They do. And they get to the point very quickly where nobody is in charge. I mean, sometimes a single person starts a war, and you have that power, like an arsonist, to light that match and get it going. But then now it's on. So what, Israel can't turn it off at this point. United States can't turn it off. Russia at this point, it's going largely how you and I warned about before the initial war in Ukraine.
Yes, that, it is.
Ukraine could end up losing catastrophically, which people said we were crazy, like always, and da 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 da. And here we go. I mean, I just got a notification about 2 hours ago, or maybe 3 hours ago now, that embassies in Kiev have told their people to evacuate their embassies, go to subway shelters and that sort of thing. Expect massive attack on Kiev. I don't know if it's going to happen. That was just a source that I've had for many years, who's generally pretty accurate. He's not 100% accurate, but very good, actually. We'll see.
Well, the embassies being emptied, that is being widely reported in mainstream media at this point.
Oh, well, it turns out to be accurate on that then. So
Yep. However, the missile strike, there are rumors. I don't actually believe this rumor, but there's a rumor that Russia is preparing to use a nuclear ballistic missile, an RS-26, to destroy Kiev. I don't think that's going to happen for numerous reasons, but one of those is that, you know, Kiev has a lot of historical significance to Russia, and they want to take the city intact if they can. There's a lot of infrastructure there. It doesn't make sense to nuke it if you're Russia. It makes sense to use a thermobaric bomb, though, to eliminate, you know, personnel, but not to destroy all the infrastructure. Certainly, you don't want radioactive fallout in the region when you need the food out of there. So what's your take, Michael? What is Russia likely to respond with, in your view?
I don't know what weapons they'll use, but since before the first shots were fired, I've been warning. I would not be surprised if the United States either nukes ourselves or nukes somebody and says the Russians did it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, as things have evolved, the Iranians, right? And uses that as casus belli. The United States has a long history of doing this. Like, for instance, I've mentioned this before, President Grant, his autobiography that he wrote with Samuel Clemens, you know, Mark Twain. It's a very good book. He talks about, in I think it was 1848, how, you know, he was a lieutenant at the time, as I recall, General Grant later and later President Grant. Grant talked about how we were provoking the Mexicans to attack us. He's like, it's very interesting. He went into some detail about how, and then later, of course, we did this with the Japanese. A lot of Americans think we were just kind of having a nice Sunday and the Japanese attacked us at Pearl Harbor. And when in reality, we cut off their oil and their rubber and their tin. Now, people will respond to that in the information war space and say, well, that was because of Nanjing. But most of the people talking about this never heard of Nanjing until the information war. I mean, they don't even know what they're talking about. They're just information warfare parrots.
Well, and even historically, the United States military decisions were not based on humanitarian interests. They were based on strategic and resource interests.
Absolutely. It had zero to do with anything humanitarian. Interestingly, a research partner of mine, JBS, he's the only other person with access to my X account, my Twitter. So anytime you see somebody post JBS, that's actually Jew behind the scenes. He's one day we were in Tokyo one time and he's smoking a cigar in this dimly lit place. I said, you really are the Jew behind the scenes because he's such an effective fighter against China. And so ever since then, you know, when he posts his JBS, but JBS sent me something a couple of days ago now, and it was from Grant's old letters. I mean, there's like more than 29 books of those. I don't know how many books. I'm going to get them. But these letters, and Grant was over in Japan. He'd been there a couple months, and he was advising. These are letters back and forth between the Emperor of Japan and Grant. And Grant is warning him specifically, the Emperor of Japan. He's like, Japan's a great place and all these things. And he's saying, basically, whatever you do, do not take foreign debt. Grant is warning the Emperor of Japan because, you know, Japan had only recently opened up in roughly 1854, right, with the black ships, Matthew Perry, Commodore Perry. And I've actually got those original reports to Congress. They're like this big. They're unbelievable. I found them in an antique bookstore in Tokyo. And they're unbelievable books. But the point is that Grant was over there in 1873, I think. And he was warning, or it may have been 1879. I'm sorry. My memory's getting bad. He's warning the Japanese emperor, don't take foreign debt. You'll be a slave.
That's right. And that's exactly what happened after, well, World War II in particular, right? So the Japanese Empire surrendered to Western interests, and then the U.S. has had military bases essentially controlling and threatening Japan ever since.
Yeah, it's interesting how Teddy Roosevelt and Grant and these guys, these are some of the smartest Americans that ever breathed air. They were very positive towards Japan, by the way, both of them, very positive. Not the other Roosevelt. He's the one that started the war with Japan and then blamed it on Japanese.
Right. Right. Well, it's fascinating history. Let's bring it back to Russia and Ukraine, though, because I think we need to try to help our audience understand what may be coming. There's I've seen a big uptick in purchases of iodine. And the only time I normally see that is when people are afraid of a nuclear war. And, you know, Russia has more nuclear weapons than any other country in the world. Russia has the legal right to respond to this attack. And Russia, as you know, just in the last few days, Putin signed the new posture that allows Russia, they've already made these decisions, that Russia can retaliate with nuclear weapons against an attack by a non-nuclear state if that attack is accentuated by the help of a nuclear state. So, in other words, these ATACMS missiles attacks on Russia, Russia's already made the decision that they can use nuclear weapons to retaliate if they feel like they need to do so. In other words, they don't have to have a meeting. They've already had the meeting. So where does this go from here?
Well, it's doing what wars do, and we know what that is. And Russia is in the same situation that Japan was. That's why that frame of reference is very good. If you look at old newspaper articles before Pearl Harbor, Japan was very much interested in negotiating peaceful settlement. They did not want to go to war. They were very clear about it, openly, all the time. And then finally it happened. And that's what's going on with Russia. Russia clearly knows where this can go. These are adults. Meanwhile, we've got a bunch of these children with their nuclear weapons, basically Americans and Europeans that are the Zionists that are representing, well, not really Israel's interest. They're using Israel as a staked goat too. It's clear that Russia does not want to have a thermonuclear war, but it clearly looks like the people that are causing these problems with Nord Stream and Groningen and all the, not problems. I mean, they've closed those gas flows down. The same people seem to want an actual real nuclear war. They think everything will be fine in their bunkers, and maybe they will. But that would certainly depopulate the Earth considerably.
Well, yeah. And let me throw a theory at you here and get your reaction. That is that the deep state in the U.S. needs a reset to cover up all the evidence of their crimes. So think about it. Since 1913, you've read The Creature from Jekyll Island. Our country has been looted by an international cartel of banksters that started the Federal Reserve. They've been stealing from this country ever since. And of course, the Biden regime more recently has engaged in all kinds of money laundering, racketeering, and fraud. They've just told Zelensky that Ukraine can hold on to the $4 or $5 billion that they were supposed to send back for some reason. They don't have to send it back because it's already been paid out as bribes and kickbacks and grift. So, there's no better way to reset, to destroy all the evidence of crimes than to just have a nuclear war and end the U.S. and blame it all on Russia. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. And that would do many things that some of these people want, which is reduce the global population, right? It would clearly do that. There would be massive death right up front within the first, day or two. And then within the next few months, a huge amount more. And then you would have famines that would be unchecked. There would be, when you have a hurricane that wipes you out this time, there is zero that's going to come help, and the electric, places like Florida, by the way, where I'm from, a lot of people don't realize this because Florida is such a nice place to live when you have electricity and running water. But Florida was one of the last states that was actually seriously populated, because Florida is a very tough place to live in without that water and electrical infrastructure. I mean, a lot of the people in Florida now that would die very quickly if there was no electricity.
True. I mean, it's a swampland.
I grew up there. I mean, I love Florida, but I grew up when we already had, electricity and running water.
Yeah, well, much the same is true in Texas, where I live. The native people who populated these regions, they constructed dwellings in a completely different manner, adobe or tapia construction with air that would move through the house so you could survive the 110 degree summers. Today, all the houses are closed up. No air conditioning means mass die-off all across Texas and Louisiana and Mississippi and Florida, like you said.
You know what, Michael? I've been into many of those sorts of – I spent 2 years in Afghanistan, as you know. I've been in many of those homes made out of mud, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And it can be blazing hot outside, and it's actually cool inside. And they make the walls certain thickness depending on where they're at in the country and which way the sun comes up, wherever they're at. And also, some of them have actual air conditioners. Some of them they build their homes atop, what they call the Carez. So it's an underground water system, and that it's sort of a little air conditioner. So even in the wintertime, they can be a lot warmer. I've been in them in the wintertime, although they will get cold. But in the summertime, it doesn't matter how hot it gets. Just go in there and take your siesta and then go back to work.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Well, overall, I think you and I would agree that most Americans are not prepared for what may be coming just in the next 9 weeks. And I keep wondering, you know, Putin has demonstrated quite a lot of resistance against escalation, but he must have tremendous domestic pressure to respond. And if Ukraine is able to hit more strategic targets inside Russia, such as ammo depots or military infrastructure or airports, you know, military bases, things like that, at some point, isn't Putin's hand going to be forced where he must retaliate with strength? And I mean, beyond Ukraine, I'm talking about Romania, Poland, you know, places like that.
I mean, think about if we had a neighbor suddenly that was buying machine guns and cannons and aiming them at our house. And he was obviously saying he's coming to kill us. I mean, that's what's happening with Ukraine and the Baltic states, Lithuania, obviously Estonia, Latvia, Finland, the whole works doing this artillery exercise up in Finland, like on and on and on. Right. I mean, we are saying we're coming to kill you and we're actually pulling the weapons into the neighborhood. So, and then, you know, the so-called president, not that Biden gave permission for anything. He doesn't even know where he's at. His handlers, somehow have decided that let's go ahead and threaten Russia even more. I think they're trying to provoke Russia into firing first. I do not know what their plan is, either provoke him to fire first, or which is what Grant talked about, trying to get the Mexicans to do, get them to fire first, getting the Japanese to do that, get them to fire first, right? And then going for it. And so now if this happens, if missiles already are flying into Russia, these are missiles that could carry hydrogen bombs. So every time this comes, that's like shooting a rifle or rifles into Russia, and Russians don't know if these have hydrogen bombs or not. Right. And by the way, the hydrogen bomb in and of itself is an EMP too, right? All these, all these atomic weapons are also EMPs, right? They do the same stuff, except with also a huge blast and radiation, as you know, right?
Well, that's right. And it looks to me like, you know, you've got Jake Sullivan, you've got Antony Blinken, who's a total disaster. You've got the ghost of Victoria Nuland still haunting the place there. And you've got O'Biden or Obama / Biden. Do you think that, are they just trying to cause as much chaos before Trump gets into power? Or do you think that they can manage to even stop Trump from coming to power by managing to get, let's say, Washington, D.C. nuked before January 20th, even if the deep state has to nuke it themselves and blame Russia? Do you think they could stop Trump?
Tyranny has no borders. I mean, it's like, there's nothing they won't do. You know, it's one thing I've noticed when I studied cults over the years. Every minute you spend studying mathematics or cults is a minute that will be returned. it's an investment. You're not really spending it. And one of the things I found about cults is the only cults that people never see are the cults that they're in. But also, in a true cult, there is nothing that people won't do.
That's
nothing.
True.
They will feed their children to crocodiles. They will put jabs in their children and put it on Instagram, right? Death jabs. They will do that. And they have just done that. And they continue to do things like this. There is nothing a cult won't do. It's like training a needle and making it into a compass. You know, there's when you're making a compass out of a needle and a cork in the water, you know, and the good information warriors can do that with people. They can train them into a North Pole and then reverse it and reverse polarity. They can do the same. The real masterful cult builders can do that, and they can do it with increasing speed.
That's absolutely correct. Now, I want to get your take. Let's shift gears domestically to the U.S. And there's a lot of debate right now about Trump saying he's going to use the military to deport the illegals. Now, you and I both know that we are being invaded. I mean, you've talked about it for years. You're the key person who warned about the Darien Gap and the invasion camps funded by Mayorkas and so on. Well, now we have a lot of blue state governors and blue city mayors who are saying they will shield the illegals. They will harbor them. Trump is saying we're going to use the military. In fact, his spokesperson, well, not spokesperson, Stephen Miller, forgot what role he's going to have. He said that on day one, Trump is going to initiate the massive deportation. You know, Tom Homan is going to be part of this. They're going to start rounding people up and booting them out of the country. I know, and I'm sorry it takes so long to ask this question, but
no, it's important.
I know law enforcement in Texas, they don't need any help from the feds. All they need is for the feds to take the illegals out of the jails. And law enforcement in Texas can round them all up by themselves. But in the blue states where there's resistance from the state, it's looking like there's going to be a military, almost, I don't know what you call it, you know, a conflict with the blue states. So my question to you, Michael, what do you think this is going to look like? Where is it going? Are there civil liberties concerns that all of us may have, you know, posse comitatus and so on? What are your thoughts surrounding this issue?
Yeah, here we go into the Hegelian dialectic land where we want these things to happen. We want these mass deportations, which will, of course, end up taking more of our own freedoms, right? So this is the perfect, you know, we see the trap we're going into. We need to do the mass deportation. You know, as you know, this is a war. This is another form of the warfare. This is that old, you know, weapons of mass migration I keep holding up, right? This is this is old forms of warfare that go back to since the beginning. And what will happen actually if some states start rounding them up and others don't? That'll cause human osmotic pressure. Probably a lot of these aliens will move to places where they won't be rounded up. I'm just guessing. I don't know.
That's happening. That's already beginning.
Yeah. And they'll move to Canada and other places. And
my understanding is they're moving to blue cities right now.
And that'll cause a lot of pressure on them. You know, obviously, many of these places already are collapsing. But obviously, if you end up suddenly with that osmotic pressure into New York City and other places, I mean, they made their bed. There's no way out of this that's nice. There's no way out. They've basically thrown gasoline all over their own house and they're smoking dope.
Well, but let's pursue this, Michael. Do you think Trump will dispatch military troops to do things like arrest governors and seize illegals? I mean, is this coming to almost a regional civil war type scenario?
Wow, that would be straight up civil war, wouldn't it? Using troops to seize governors, that would be, I mean, obviously a lot of people would be begging for that and with cause. I mean, this is why it's a perfect argument, is because it's not baseless. It's not and it's clear that, you know, when I returned to the United States in August of 2020, having spent so many years overseas, I returned because specifically and explicitly I was saying many times, I think we're going into civil war. And I returned in August of 2020 saying that. I see that more now than ever. It was really apparent back in 2020. And right now, I'm not sure. We're like a ship trying to turn around in the Panama Canal. I'm not sure how we can stop this at this point, because we're already in the Civil War. It's just not highly kinetic at this point.
Well, I've made the argument, Michael, that this is justified, that governors and mayors that harbor invading enemy forces must be arrested if we're going to have a rule of law and a republic. I mean, we either have a nation or we don't. And those who, like, for example, Trump, all Trump has to do on day one is declare that this is an invasion and it's a national emergency, right? And I'm not naive about the abuse of power. We should discuss this. But from that point forward, if he declares it to be an invasion, then those who are complicit in aiding and abetting the invaders are obviously enemy combatants in that context.
So that would be Mayorkas and a lot of them, right?
Yes.
And I've been calling Mayorkas an enemy combatant for quite a while. I mean, he already is. He's a traitor. It's treason. Bottom line. A lot of people are clearly doing this. This is the thing. Once we get into this war, we're already in it, but once... If it continues to go this direction, it's going to get incredibly bloody. It'll be very, very serious. And if you're going into that, then you I mean, you're in it. I mean,
okay, but think about this. But what alternative do we have as a nation if the blue states, let's say California, will say, we'll allow unlimited illegal migration into our state, which means that their population goes up under the U.S. Census, which means they get more House seats in Congress because House seats are apportioned by population, not by citizenship. It's based on the number of people. So they're stealing the House of Representatives, which affects all the other states. They become an entryway of invaders that then fan out to the other states using California as a beachhead or Arizona or what have you, right? And then on top of that, California rigs its own elections by allowing illegals to vote. So they're stealing Senate seats and they're stealing House seats, which again affects the whole nation. How does Trump not crack down on that? You know,
it's war at that point. And, you know, a lot of people have said for years, I'll just let California secede. No, that's ours, right? You know who will end up taking California? Masako Kanaha and I went to San Francisco numerous times before Xi went there. He went to visit San Francisco and didn't even go to Washington. And I've been saying for a long time, I think the Chinese Communist Party wants to make San Francisco basically their first capital in the United States. It's actually pretty clear to me. Maybe it's not clear to others, but I think you can see it. But most people won't be able to see that. But it's pretty obvious, right? And so you'll have the Reconquista crowd that wants to take it from Mexico, going back to President Grant. You know, there's a big crowd that, you know, the Reconquista crowd that wants to take Texas. They want to take Arizona and many parts in California and for Mexico, right? And then there's the Chinese that want to take it. And I look up at Canada. I was just up at Canada earlier this year with Masako. And you can clearly see that Canada is being set for battles between Indians and Chinese in Canada. The Canadians are just onlookers.
Yeah. Justin Trudeau has really prepped Canada for being overrun. But so has Governor Newsom in California. I think has worked with the CCP all these years.
Openly.
Yeah. And he's used China as a money laundering conduit. Remember the time he sent $1 billion to a Chinese EV car company to buy masks during COVID and the masks never showed up and $1 billion just vanished? Well, guess what? It didn't just vanish. It got laundered. You know, some of it came back to Newsom. And they use that to bribe all the judges and everybody in the California system. I mean, it's a totally corrupt, fraudulent criminal empire.
And notice the report of that illegal Chinese bank just busted a few weeks ago in California.
Oh, I missed that one, but not surprised to hear that. So,
no. Yep, go ahead, sir.
Since Trump won, then, if what you and I are talking about comes true, it looks like there will be regional civil war in the... Those are windows. Yeah. Your poltergeists are getting out of hand there. You might want to put them on a leash. But you're talking about regional civil war in the blue cities and blue states, but not in the red states, because the red states will be cooperating with the federal government. You see what I'm saying? It'll be very localized, these actions, is what it looks like to me.
We'll see, because wars have a way of spreading.
Yeah.
Wars spread. That's just what they do. And they that's by their nature. They spread. They spread uncontrollably. They last longer than people expected. If you always predict those three things, you'll pretty much always be right.
Yeah.
I don't imagine it being localized. I don't imagine anything being localized.
Well, okay. You're probably right about that. And one of my concerns is that once Trump has troops deployed across America and he's got us in a national emergency situation, what happens if somebody releases another pandemic at that time? Now we have Operation Warp Speed 2.0. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. This is the thing. You know, I was with the U.S. military in Iraq and Afghanistan, and not only the U.S., but I mean, we had like 40 different countries involved in both of those wars. I mean, at different times, it was different numbers. But for a working number, say 40, right? 40 in Iraq and 40 in Afghanistan, just as a working number, right? And because there was countries that would come and go out of the alliances and that sort of thing. But even still in those countries, the U.S. military, even with all the A-10s and the satellites and all that stuff and all the electronic warfare, we didn't control those countries. We didn't control a population that didn't want to be controlled. And now you can control the law-abiding Americans. You can make their lives hell, right? You know, you won't be able to get on the airplanes. You won't be able to drive down the highways in safety. You won't be able to do any of those things in safety. They cut off your bank accounts and all these sort of, it's going to hurt us a lot more than it's going to hurt the Planet of the Apes who've come over the border already, right? Again, there is no nice way to do a civil war. It's just going to be ugly per se, right?
Yes, that's a really good point. And I still say that the forced removal of these illegals is a necessary step. You know, I live in Texas. We've seen the results of just people traffic, you know, people crashing into others. The drivers from the illegals, they have no insurance, no driver's license. They don't obey the rules of the road. There's looting. There's theft is on the rise. There's a lot of theft of construction equipment, by the way. They'll steal a skid steer or an excavator or a generator. There's a lot of course, narco activity and so on. You know, you can't just sit back and tolerate that forever.
No, we need to remove them. And let's call it what it is. Compassionate repatriation. They need to go back. And we're not under any obligation to repatriate them to their countries, right? That's not our responsibility. They found their ways to America. All we need to do is get them out of America, preferably not into Canada, right? Very preferably not into Canada.
Right.
But we need to get them out of North America, period. We don't have to get them back to China. We don't have to get them back to Venezuela, who says they won't take them back. I don't care where you go. Just get out of America, right? That's what we need to do. I mean, of course, we'll try to guide them into places that are more, that are better for us and better for them if possible. But again, their well-being is their responsibility. They have the wherewithal to get into America. They have the wherewithal to get out of America. It's up to them. We need to make them feel maximally uncomfortable in America so that most of them. I just got a message from Taylor Kramer yesterday. He said he was talking with some Venezuelans who want to go back to Venezuela. They're tired of America now, which was pretty interesting.
Well, OIM released all those maps for how they can come into the country. Well, guess what? You turn those maps upside down, and that's your way out.
That's right.
You know,
get out. It's not my responsibility to take you back to wherever. It's our responsibility to get you over the border. And put our military on the border and be crystal clear. You will not cross that border again. The only warning you're going to get is a spotlight in the face. If you continue to come, you'll be shot. I mean, seriously, this is our border. If we treat this as it is, it will end very quickly. Very few people will get hurt when they see that you're coming at them with actual strength. You won't have to hurt very many people at all. It's when you're weak, like when we walk down on streets in various countries we go to, and there's so much crime everywhere. Like here, every door that you go to, if you go to a shop, they have to let you in every single shop, right? Almost every single, say 90%, 95%, right? I mean, the reason we have so much crime in the United States is there's not enough testosterone from American men to just say, that'll be enough of that, right?
Yeah,
that'll
right.
be enough. Get out. And if you don't want to get out, get down, right? I mean, seriously, it's time to man up. Get off the dope, doper Joe Rogans and all those clowns, and man up and protect our country. That's what it comes down to.
Well, yeah, and that's why when you see European countries run by all of these leaders that have female energy, which is, you know, female energy is like it's a nurturing energy, but the female energy, and that it could be expressed by men or women, because, you know, all of our men are feminized these days. But the female energy, you know, it's great for raising families and nurturing children, horrible for protecting your border, because they feel sorry for everybody and they're not willing to hold the line and say, get out. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Just get out. You know, the dog should bark one time and then it bites, right? I mean, seriously, it's a warning. It was a fair warning. Get out, right? And that goes for the traders who have set conditions for this to happen. Misako and I actually walked into the IOM headquarters here in Buenos Aires last Monday, and we asked for a job, right? And the I'd like to be the director of IOM, please. And so the and actually, we talked with the guy for 15 or 20 minutes, and he was very concerned, and they had to buzz you in the office, of course. Cameras everywhere. I've got a bunch of photos. I'll send them to you. And he said, we're not hiring right now. I mean, we really did walk in and ask for a job. He said, we're not hiring now because Trump was elected and we're afraid he's going to cut United Nations funding. Because, of course, IOM is part of the United Nations. Yeah. He's like, IOM and United Nations has a hiring freeze right now. So I said, what are the number one groups that are coming in here to, why is IOM in Argentina? He said, because the number one group is Venezuelans, right? So yeah. Venezuelans to Argentina. And because Venezuela is basically dumped out and to the United States and Canada and here and other places. And another group is Bolivians and those from Paraguay, but they're neighbors, of course. And then people from Senegal and a lot of Chinese. Chinatown's like 10 or 15 minutes walk from me right here. Now, I said Chinese. How are you helping the Chinese? Because I know more about the structure of their flows. And he said, I didn't say that to him, of course, but he said, well, that we don't actually have to help the Chinese because the Chinese government helps them. So he said, we help the Chinese very little because they do it themselves. And he said, you know, when you come to Argentina, you get free medical, free education, like people on vacation. If you can get into Argentina, you get free medical. He was very clear on that. Yeah. He's like, no, we can help you get free medical. And I was like, okay, that's no wonder this place is in trouble.
Well, right. And this weaponized migration has been strongly incentivized in the United States by people like Alejandro Mayorkas, who I believe needs to be arrested and charged with treason immediately, like on day one. There needs to be an arrest list. Do you agree with that idea? And who would you think Trump needs to immediately arrest and charged with various crimes, maybe treason, maybe sedition, maybe aiding and abetting enemy forces? I mean, it should be a pretty long list, shouldn't it?
Number one would be Alex Mayorkas, number one, because first of all, it's demonstrable. It's like really obvious. And that would be number one. And then I would start from there. That would be a long list, actually. And it would be thousands, and we could have plenty of jail space by emptying out the illegal aliens and sending them back to their country.
True.
Or the invaders, just send them back out of our country. I don't care where they go. Send them to Madagascar.
Pardon the J6 prisoners, and then we free up, you know, a couple thousand jail cells right there. You can put Mayorkas in there.
Will Trump pardon the J6 people? I wonder.
I think he will pardon the nonviolent ones, is my guess. Hmm. Those who did not assault Capitol Police.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's my guess.
If he wants to get, if he's going to get serious, he's going to pardon them in the first 5 minutes, right?
Yep.
And I mean, the list should already be made, and it should just be like he swears in and says right then, and I'm releasing the J6. I'm ordering them to be released right now.
I would say that there's probably about 1,000 executive orders that Trump's legal team is going to have ready for him to sign. Did you know that he can eliminate the FBI by executive order because it was not created by an act of Congress?
Yeah. In fact, I saw Mike Flynn say that last night. Mike Flynn, General Flynn, I introduced him actually to Doug Casey and Matt Smith, and they did a great interview. And good. So I watched it carefully last night, and Mike Flynn was like, you know, President Trump can just lock the FBI and just say, that's it. It's closed.
Yeah.
He can do it on day one.
And I think he should. And I think even, you know, Kash Patel, who is being considered to run the FBI, has also said if he runs the FBI, he'll fire everybody on day one, or at least send them out into the field, close down the FBI building. You know, like that's the right attitude, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And also governors like the governor of Florida, why don't you just close their offices for them? You know, I mean, seriously, yeah. Just close
the FBI offices in Florida, you're saying.
Right. Close the FBI offices in Florida. I mean, why
absolutely.
Not? What really, why can't you do it if they're illegally there? In fact,
well, right. There's no constitutional basis for their presence.
Right. You just close their offices and say, everybody have a nice day. And you take their vehicles and you put them on a train and you send them up to Georgia and say, Georgia, you can have these vehicles.
Yeah. Right. Just have an auction. Auction off all the FBI buildings and equipment. Right. Shut it down and end the political persecution of conservatives and Christians in America. All right, Michael, we're almost out of time. I want to give you a chance to talk about how people can follow you, you know, your X, your website, etc. I want to give out all your links.
Yeah, I'm on Substack. So Substack is the best place to go at this point. I'm on X every day, but I'm going to start doing more serious work on Substack the way I used to do in the wars with these long forms, because clearly we're going into a period of the United States where I've got to shift back to my sort of war correspondent hat, because and that requires long form writing.
Yes. Yes. Funny. You and I have the same plan. I'm doing some more of those articles as well. Okay. But it's michaelyan.substack.com, correct?
I think that's what it is. Michael Yan on Substack. Yes.
Okay. And then on X, it's Michael_Yan, correct?
Yep. Michael_Yan. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anywhere else? Patreon, anything like that?
No, just Substack and X is them. And I do a lot of interviews, but you can't really follow me there unless they just happen to pop up. But yeah.
Well, you're going to be joining me, I think, every other week or so. Is that that's the current plan, right?
Yeah, I'll be with you every week that you can. And or every other week is fine as well. And also, I go on with Doug Casey once a week and Matt Smith.
Awesome.
Doug Casey's take. Yep. And that's on my Substack as well.
Okay. That's great. And Doug Casey is someone that I really respect too. And, you know, he and I had a great conversation recently. Thank you for the introduction. Doug Casey knows exactly what's coming. You know, just the financial overlay to this is on top of everything you and I have talked about so far, right? The dollar collapse is not going to be pretty.
Doug Casey is the one to listen to on that. And Matt Smith, also very knowledgeable. You know Matt Smith as well. And Matt has a farm actually in Uruguay. He sent me a video today. They're cleaning a cow. They just slaughtered one of their cattle.
Oh, well, that must be a gruesome video.
Made me hungry.
All right. Well, okay.
I'm not a vegetarian.
No, I know you're not a vegetarian, but still, if we get in a survival situation, I'll pay people in gold and silver as long as I don't have to slaughter cows. Like, I'll take the brisket, but I don't want to do the work. You know what I'm saying?
If God didn't want me to eat cows, he wouldn't have made them out of hamburger.
I hear you. All right. Well, thank you, Michael. We appreciate all your analysis today, and let's all pray for peace and de-escalation if that's even possible. But we'll see.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. Thank you. Oh, don't disconnect. We've got to finish the upload here, but thank you, Michael. And thank all of you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams here, Brighteon.com and naturalnews.com. You can follow Michael Yan on X at Michael_Yan. That's Y-O-N. And then you can follow me at Health Ranger on X. Thank you for listening. Take care. Mike Adams here, and I want to share a little nutritional secret with you. So, you know, I drink these smoothies every day. I make these out of avocados and bananas and whey protein. Put some other powders in them as well. I put a little black cumin seed oil in there and some vitamin D drops and things like that. But what I've added today into my smoothie, because we now have it available in our store, is called Golden Milk. And I know it's kind of a funny name, but it's orange. It's golden orange colored because it's got a lot of turmeric in it. But let me show you this. I've got it on my desk here. There it is in the canisters there on the right and left-hand side. Golden Milk powder canisters. Of course, it's certified organic and laboratory tested, but if you show my screen, I want to walk you through some of the ingredients. This is incredibly delicious. It's great for the fall season here too, but it's made with organic coconut milk powder and then organic date sugar, which is a low glycemic natural sweetener. And then the functional herbs are, you've got curcumin, which is an extract from turmeric. You've got organic turmeric root powder, organic ginger root powder for that spice, that fall spice. Ashwagandha powder, which is an adaptogen that's really potent, and then cinnamon powder,
gives it that just delicious flavor. Cinnamon, by the way, is used a lot in traditional Chinese medicine, and it has its own health properties. All this together is called Organic Golden Milk Superfood. You can take the powder and you can blend it into water, or you can blend it like I did with avocados and bananas. You can blend it with cashews to make like a cashew milk, like a superfood fall eggnog nutrition drink. You know, there's no eggs in it, and it's not all sugared up like typical eggnog. It's way better than eggnog, but it's great for the fall season. Or you can use almond milk or any other kind of milk or raw cow's milk, whatever you have, fresh milk off the farm. Mix this with it, and you will have a superfood extravaganza that has so many functional benefits, it's too many to even name. Now, in addition to that, here's what else we have available at the Health Ranger store. I just mentioned ashwagandha. We have an ashwagandha liquid extract available right now, too. Here it is. It's organic liquid extract, 2 fluid ounces. This is a super high-end extract that's extracted with a combination of alcohol, water, and glycerin. And as a result, because of those three different, quote, solvents or, you know, carriers, you actually extract more of the nutrients from the ashwagandha root than just using one of those. So this is available now, and it's really fantastic. And if you show my desk, I want to mention a couple other things. We have astaxanthin, Hawaiian astaxanthin, now back in stock for the first time in a long time. That is a fat-soluble carotenoid that has extraordinary properties. If you haven't yet tried astaxanthin and just observe what it can help with in terms of your mobility and joints and cognitive protective support, things like that, try astaxanthin. I think you'll be really amazed at what it can do for you. In addition, we have the Boku Superfood formulation now in stock for the first time. This organic superfood is it's based on the original Boku formulation, but it's been upgraded, enhanced with our sourcing, our laboratory testing, and the result is now the combination Boku Superfood, Health Ranger Store, you know, combo formulation and lab testing product. Available for the first time, plant-based, high-density nutrition, ready to blend into water or milk or anything like that. It's available for the first time at our store. And then finally, if you go back to my desk, yeah, we've got ginger latte powder, which is, you know, more of a sort of coffee-themed drink there that's also quite delicious. And then we also have there in the brown label the organic freeze-dried crunchy munchies, banana, apple, cinnamon. And these are fruit and herb purees that are freeze-dried into little snack chunks. And they're called crunchy munchies. They're fun to eat. Kids love them too. And the ingredients are just incredibly clean and nutritious. We also have a banana strawberry flavor available in the crunchy munchies as well. So a great snack, a great travel food. All of this and much more is available now at healthrangerstore.com. And also don't want to forget iodine, because everybody's freaking out about the risk of nuclear war right now. And sure enough, we've got nascent iodine available at the store. This is the cap version because the caps last much longer than the droppers. But you can also buy this with a dropper in it, or you can get bulk deals with this. You can buy like 6 bottles with caps right here, a 6-pack. And this stuff is going to just disappear off the shelves the minute, you know, let's pray it doesn't happen. But the minute war escalates even more between Russia and Ukraine, especially if somebody starts launching nukes, or even if Israel starts launching nukes, which could happen on any given day, it seems. But you won't be able to find nascent iodine on the shelves. So get it now while you can. And when it's relatively affordable and available, we've got it right now. We're shipping right now out of our warehouse in Central Texas. So thank you for all your support. Shop at healthrangerstore.com for all your nutrition needs. And you can find many different products that we have available, hundreds to choose from that are health and nutrition. We've got hundreds of different products to choose from, themed on health and nutrition and superfoods, even personal care products. We've got freeze-dried crunchy munchies and also storable food, certified organic storable food, you know, various nutritional supplements. Yes, we test everything for glyphosate. We test it for heavy metals. We test for microbiology contamination, E. coli, salmonella, yeast and mold, total plate count, other testing as well. So we do more testing than anybody that I know of in this business. And so you can rest assured that whatever you purchase from our store is ultra clean, ultra tested, and has very high density nutrition without all the crazy high toxic heavy metals that are very commonly found in products like turmeric and ginger and moringa and many others. So, hey, as I say about the other nutritional product providers out there, if they're not testing for heavy metals, they're selling heavy metals. You got to test for it because heavy metals contamination is like crazy common in certain types of foods and supplements like turmeric. So we have laboratory tested, certified organic. Thank you for supporting healthrangerstore.com and know that every purchase helps support our platforms like Brighttown.com, Natural News, Brighttown.io, our decentralized free speech platform, Brighttown.social, and much more, including our AI project, Brighttown.ai. So thank you for all your support. God bless you all. Take care.